The Blaze Radio Network. On demand. The Blaze Radio Network on demand. Reform This with Dr. Zudi Jasser.
We're talking about the primary weapon I have to protect my family, to protect myself from the ideological permeation of Islamism, of Wahhabism, of the theocratic ideas that permeate Islamic indoctrination. If we're going to reform against them, we need to have conversations. We need to have critical thinking. And that happens through social media. It happens through academic writings. It happens through venues that allow us to think against the establishment. And if Twitter cannot, if Twitter starts getting into the business of deciding which speech is palatable and which isn't, it is no longer a platform for free speech, but it is a platform for Twitter's ideology. It is no longer an avenue for critical thinking. It becomes a Twitter platform shaped in its own identity, whatever blasé form that might be. So recently, the approach to Alex Jones, he was banned from Facebook, and now after Twitter initially said no, they then proceeded to ban him. And there was some discussion as to why that was done, and basically it said that it was revealed through the Daily Beast and others that he had posted a video that verbally attacked a CNN reporter, Oliver Darcy, saying that, among other things, those are the eyes of a rat. A month ago, Twitter had given him a small punishment for his inflammatory behavior on the platform, a suspension for a week that prevented him from tweeting, retweeting on his personal account after many videos had been flagged that Jones posted to Twitter, in which he encouraged his supporters to ready their weapons against the media and other groups. Now that may be a call to violence. I can sort of see that one. And that may be a justified mechanism for restricting free speech. Or certain speech. I don't even think calls to violence should be characterized as free speech. So, yet it was small compared to his deplatforming from YouTube, Facebook, Apple, Spotify, and others that have removed Alex Jones and InfoWars from their platforms. Facebook followed up by suspending Jones for 30 days. YouTube terminated his account, and on and on. Jack Dorsey testified to Congress this week and did a dance that was filled with some actually pretty good testimony and admissions about possibly some bias that might exist and other deflections and nauseating denials. For this program's purpose, I think it is essential to note that the tests of a democracy are not the speech that is obviously simply ideological and academic and highbrow, but it is what is it that we do as a society with that speech which is the most offensive. Now, the Supreme Court and American culture rule that pornography, it's known when you see it, you know it when you see it. It's hard to describe, but it can be outlawed because of the certain modicums of propriety that need to exist. You could similarly say that you don't need profanity on Twitter in order to be cogent and express your ideas. I actually would not mind that. The F word and a few other words are not necessary forms of communication in order for me to be critical of leadership or the establishment. But Alex Jones, when he criticizes media, makes fun of their faces and all these kind of things, it might be unpalatable. But so is when the left sticks a cross, a crucifix, in urine, and they call it art, and our taxpayers paid for that decades ago. And it was considered free expression. And yet, that is part of a culture that denigration of religion, as long as Christianity or Judaism, is okay. If it's Islam, nobody's talking about shutting down Hamas, Harikat Islamiyah, Hamas movement, Hamas Info EN, their main Twitter account that has 74,000 followers, joined in March 2015, or Minister Farrakhan that has hundreds of thousands of followers that regularly post anti-Semitic garbage that is part of a movement that is hateful. No, that's a protected class. So you begin to see that what are the standards? There's a slippery slope there. And I think ultimately the most offensive speech needs to be protected. And America has ruled on this before. The Brandenburg versus Ohio case that talks about the limits of speech being as long as you're not calling for the imminent attack, violence, death upon an individual, you're not directly inciting to violence. Now, you could say that calling for governmental change, etc., as you look at Saudi Arabia, for example, or Iran, they will invoke incitement to violence for any type of speech, and anything that's said, they call incitement. So I would be careful on the incitement thing, other than to say that the sentence itself has to be obvious call for violence. Attack this person, hit this person, kill this person. That is not free speech, because it can immediately drive people to commit acts that would be uncontrollable by a society with a cascade that would happen too quickly. But criticizing somebody's looks, racism, hate speech, if you start limiting that, the Alex Joneses of the world will give way then to the reformers, the Muslim reformers who are told that we are anti-Muslim, that we are Islamophobic, that we are bigots, that folks who are free to criticize Islam, that might be atheists, that reject all religion, that, as we say in our Muslim reform movement, human beings have rights, but ideas do not. Ideas don't deserve protection, but human beings do. When you tweet something, that's a human being that's saying that. You have to protect that individual's rights. But what he writes doesn't have a right to a protection. So Islam, if you write about it, doesn't have a right to be protected from criticism or even denigration. Now, I hope and pray we live in a society where we continue to respect major faiths. We continue to live peacefully and look critically at things that need reform and love each other with a tough love and stop the enabling, which is something you and I have talked about frequently. But I'm very much, now I'm offended by the fact that Alex Jones is called a conservative. The only thing he conserves is his BMI, his body mass index. But other than that, he's not a conservative. He's a lunatic, hyperbolic, raging, crazy man. If you just look at his statements, there's no ideological coherence. He sometimes is a collectivist, a hyper-nationalist, and other times he's a conspiracy theorist who has the academic coherence of a teenager on reefer. Just makes no sense. But at the end of the day, if we restrict his freedom, if we restrict the freedom, they will go underground. He will find alternative pathways to communicate with his followers. And at the end of the day, that will be more difficult to suppress. And why I supported Brandenburg versus Ohio is not just because it's the highest court of the land, but it makes sense. Europe has a much bigger problem with hate speech and hate groups because they push it underground. They don't protect all speech. And when you push it underground, you can't monitor it. Alex Jones can be mocked. I've sent around his videos, as many have, as displays of human caricature in life. You can't do that if you make it illegal. So I would say antiseptic is sunlight. Sunlight is the antiseptic of bad ideas. And if you start restricting that speech, I would beg Facebook and Twitter and others, talk to your members of Congress. Use this opportunity to protect consumer rights, to protect the antitrust methods of protecting a small businesses from being shouted out, drowned out, and sent off to where Prager University was sent off on YouTube, where certain groups have been sent off on PayPal and others. It's not only about speech on Twitter, it's about financial freedom. They're starting to cut off people from being able to buy guns with MasterCard, with Visa. These are things that are a slippery slope that once they become a mechanism for restricting your freedoms, there is no end to it, and everything becomes a political battle. Everything. Your ability to buy a house, your ability to save money, your ability to purchase items, your ability to express your own ideology becomes a political challenge, even when you want to buy furniture at a store with your credit card. That's not an exaggeration. That's where things are going, ladies and gentlemen, if we don't be careful. I get it. The security-minded conservatives even want to see certain things removed. You want to see Farrakhan removed from the internet. You want to see Hamas removed. But, yeah, remove their calls to violence. But I'd rather be able to see these organized parties, these organized movements in our country or elsewhere. I'd rather be able to see them operate and critique their ideas than not. We had this conversation about Awlaki. Awlaki was one of the primary enemies of this country after bin Laden. They removed all of his videos from YouTube. I said they should remove his calls to violence, but his other videos could serve as educational literature to understand the primary cancers of radicalization of Muslims. Removing it doesn't make those ideas go away. And the radicals will have it, but we won't when you remove it. Think about it.
Reform This with Dr. Zudi Jasser on the Blaze Radio Network.